Welcome to Marriage in the Making, a podcast to strengthen and encourage marriages.
This is Corey.
And Kimberly Gardner. We'll share our story, the good, the bad, the funny, and the sad, with some biblical wisdom as we help you navigate the challenges of marriage.
Thank you for joining us and welcome back. We hope you enjoyed that last episode on integrity. If you're just joining us, we're working our way through the four pillars of foundation. If you missed out on the first three, go back and check out those episodes. If you have enjoyed listening to this podcast, leave a review and share it with a friend so other marriages can be strengthened and encouraged. We've talked about communication, unity, and integrity. Our last pillar, humility, is so important. Like integrity, humility is an individual thing, but it's absolutely required in marriage.
Mm-hmm. Quick disclaimer, these pillars can be extremely difficult on an individual level and also working together. I'd be lying to you if I said that I have never struggled with any of these or still don't. I think that we can all work to strengthen these areas in our lives and in our marriages, much like scripture does. It tends to cut and it tends to mold our characters. And that's the difficult part of this is realizing that at times it's going to feel uncomfortable because it almost doesn't feel natural.
We're in the process of being perfected.
Correct.
So we have to work on it every day.
Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to get super real with you guys and say, we understand that these could be challenging because they challenge us as well.
And then it may bring up some things from your past, whether you are single, you have other relationships, or you're married, it could bring up some stuff, but that just means you have a chance to communicate about it. Even when we're doing these episodes, it brings up things for us to talk about. So
mm-hmm. As we're searching for scriptures that link up and stuff like that, we're also being encouraged, we're being rebuked or corrected by the word, and we're being molded. The same with you guys.
I just want to let you know you're not alone.
Hang in there. So moving on, we are now hitting the last pillar, and I believe, as all of them are, you know, super duper important, this one I think was the most difficult for me. Humility. Humility is a modest or low view of one's importance, and it's to be void of pride or arrogance and working towards or to the absence of self, which is extremely difficult. And so we're going to move on and go straight into scripture as we always do, and we're going to go to John 13. I believe this is St. John, right? This is the Gospel of John 13. So Jesus is with his disciples. So I'm going to kind of set this up. So Jesus is with his disciples during the Feast of Passover. And he gets water and towels together and he washes their feet. And it's such a low position for Jesus to take that Peter actually refuses him at first. And so Jesus explains that only those who allow for him, Jesus, to wash their feet will actually be his. This gesture of putting himself in a lowly position to serve his disciples is one of the purest, if not the purest, examples of humility. He then goes on to tell his disciples that they must also do what he has done. In other words, to serve others in the same way that I have served you. We are to serve our spouses. Serving isn't just about being a slave. It actually has nothing to do with being a slave to someone or waiting on someone hand and foot. And if you think that's what that is, you're completely missing the point. It's about finding the ways to show your spouse that you consider them more than you consider them yourself. It's about showing up in ways that make you uncomfortable so that they aren't. And at times, you might not be uncomfortable, but you're putting yourself, once again, in a lower position and putting them ahead of yourself. And so these acts of service towards your spouse result in a form of humility.
You know, one of the things that scripture reminds me of, some different situations, even outside of marriage, where I've had to be humble, but I think it's really cool when we have our foot washing service at church and you have to, you don't have to, but you choose to wash someone else's feet. And it's not like you wash your best friend's feet, it's whoever. And there have been situations where, you know, I've heard my pastor say, you know, choose to wash the feet of somebody who you might be struggling with at that moment. Like maybe your relationship isn't the best where it should be. And I remember doing that and feeling like I really was able to mend something with this person because I was able to humble myself before them.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can do that with someone outside my marriage, mm-hmm. someone who I don't necessarily see every day, someone who I haven't committed my life to, I just think back to that and how that felt and how I was able to have that breakthrough in my relationship with them. Why wouldn't I want to do that with my spouse?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's a sacrificial type of thing.
It is.
It's not necessarily a, oh man, I was wrong, so let me, like, you know, step down, you know, like,
let me buy you flowers and chocolates and you know, brown nose, like,
right, let me get back in your good graces.
Right.
And maybe that's the goal, yeah, like, get back in their good graces, but that shouldn't be the entire reason you're doing it, just to kind of smooth things over.
No, yeah.
That's not what being humble is all about. And, like, reading through John 13 and seeing that the Savior of the world, you know, got on his hands and knees and washed his disciples' feet to the point where they were so taken aback by it that they were like, what are you doing? Get up off the ground. Like, we deserve to be washing your feet. Like, what are you doing?
Right.
That in itself shows the character that we are supposed to sort of embody. And with that being said, that's why I believe that humility is not about acts or just doing things to sort of, like, you pat my back, I pat yours. Because that's obviously not what Jesus was doing here.
Right. That's like the antithesis of being humble. Because if you're doing something
To receive something,
like, quid pro quo, Clarice.
And you can clearly tell he was not doing that in this situation.
No.
He wasn't expecting anything from Peter.
I mean, Peter couldn't give him anything.
Right.
Honestly. Right. What could Peter give him?
Right. I think one of the things that's irritating at times is when you hear someone say, just be humble.
Stay humble.
Yeah. Like, wait. It's not achievable by yourself.
No.
It's just not. And I think the word that they might be looking for is be grateful.
Right.
You know, have gratitude. But that has nothing to do with being humble. And I think that's why this was so difficult for me, is because humble is not something that is easily attained. And if you say that you're humble, you're probably not humble. And so it goes much deeper. And it's like, this concept of being humble is really hard for me to sort of wrap your head around, because it's not something that you can just go, okay, I'm going to wake up today and go and be humble today. It just doesn't work that way. And that's why, for me, it was extremely difficult to sort of nail this down. But there are ways that you can work towards being humble, not in a selfish manner, in a way that's sacrificial in a way that's selfless rather than selfish.
Right. There's things you can put into practice.
Correct. But to say that I've achieved humility, man, good luck. So one of the things that we like to do, once again, we're coming back to the marriage check-in. We addressed acts of humility in our marriage by asking, how can I make your life easier this week? Or when we say, you made me feel cherished when... These are opportunities for us to tell each other that we see them actively trying to serve us. And if you can't finish the you made me feel sentence for like 3 or 4 weeks, then there's probably something going on that you're not doing in order to serve your spouse or vice versa.
Right. And it's not that we go, okay, I know marriage check-in is coming. Let me do something. So
let me check this box real quick.
So that we can say this. It's
so I don't
more
look like a jerk.
It's more like a reflection on the week. And we've had those weeks where it looks back and it's like, you know what? I didn't even really feel like that this week. And it's more of it's a check on the other person's heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when that happens and I think to myself, wow, I didn't really serve my husband at all this week. Maybe I put someone else's feelings outside our home ahead of his, or maybe I didn't take the time to show him affection or, you know, something. And then it makes me look back and realize that. And before it gets too far, that's why we like doing it weekly, because a month or two goes by and you realize, wow, I haven't held my spouse's hand. Or, you know, some people might say a year has gone by and we don't have any intimacy anymore. You know, if you wait too long to talk about those things, that's when it becomes sort of a beast to deal with. Now in Philippians 2:3, it says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves.
Mm.
So basically, don't do something for your spouse just to get praise. So we're talking about the check-in. We're not doing it just so our spouse can be like, you're so great to me.
Yeah, it's not an ego boost.
Not at all. Not at all.
Or a pride pump.
No. It's a time for you to really put yourself behind them. Let them lead in what they need and you being able to serve them. And it's not a we're trying to one-up each other.
Mm.
Like you aren't trying to outdo your spouse. I try to outdo my husband when it comes to anniversary gifts because I think I give the best gifts.
She does.
But outside of that, like,
nailed it.
Right? Boom.
Yeah.
I don't, we don't look around trying to see, well, who served better this week? Well, you know what? I did more chores than you or whatever. That's not what this is about.
It's not about a competition.
It takes acknowledgement and a reward out of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
When you're humble, you're not looking for that acknowledgement. You're not looking for that reward when you are truly trying to walk in humility. Now, don't get me wrong. I know everybody, it feels good when someone tells you you're doing a good job at something. Whether it's your job.
100%.
Whether you're like, my daughter comes up to me and she's like, Mommy, you made a good dinner. I'm like, yes, score.
Mm-hmm.
It was macaroni and cheese, but okay, you know?
The blue box.
Whatever it is, we want to, you know, we like that praise. But if you're going about doing things and that's the purpose for you doing it, just to receive the praise, instead of being able to make someone feel better or being able to show love or just because you know it's going to make someone's life a little bit easier, then you're going about it all wrong. Now, if your spouse never says thank you, like I really try to make sure if Corey does something for me that I tell him thank you, because honestly, they don't have to. Our spouses don't have to do anything for us. I mean, it would be pretty awkward and weird in a marriage if they never did anything for you, but they don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
They choose to. And just because they never say thank you, shouldn't mean that you stop serving them. It's not the okay to just go, well, they don't appreciate it, I'm done. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's going to happen. There's going to be ebb and flow in your marriage where that happens. There might be an off week or they just don't care. Or they just are more focused on something else and they might not say thank you, but that doesn't mean that you just stop serving them.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember like when you first meet like your fiance or your husband or your wife, whatever, however you want to call your partner, and you guys are dating,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, oh man, I really want to like impress this person.
Right.
And you're doing everything out of like, not like a, oh, like I want to gain something through this. Like it's more of like, I really want to serve them to show that like I'm listening.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you yes. might like, I don't know, have their favorite band that you put like on a CD or like bought them a t-shirt or something like that. Or
concert tickets.
Or concert tickets. Yeah. Yeah. She totally gave me concert tickets. Look at this. She's trying to get a pat on the back. This is not humble.
I was thinking about when you got me concert tickets.
Oh, that's true.
See?
Backstage passes.
I know.
See, look at me trying to one up. See, this is bad. So anyway, you know, you're in that because you're like, I'm showing you that I'm listening and I'm washing your feet, right? Like I'm showing you that like I want to serve you in ways that you might not have thought about, or to show that person that like not to like, you know, be like the whole peacock thing, right? And like check my feathers out, but more of like I care for you and I'm going to show you that I care for you by doing this for you.
So what should you do if your spouse doesn't appreciate your service? Like if they don't acknowledge that you do it, they don't thank you, they just go about their business like whatever.
You just stop serving them too. You just be a complete jerk about it and you never do anything for them ever again. I'm totally kidding. No, you talk to them about it, you know, and you continue to live out that example in front of them.
Right.
Pray for them.
Yes.
You know, and pray for yourself.
Yes.
Because sometimes that can be a really hard position to be in.
It where can be.
You feel like you're not appreciated, but that's not the whole reason you're doing it.
No.
You're doing it because you're serving them.
Right. You're showing them Christ's love through that service.
Mm-hmm.
In a marriage. Man, I tell you what.
It's tough. It is tough, man. It's not easy. And that's why I put this disclaimer out, because this is extremely difficult. You know, the humility episode, I feel like I was trying to put it off for as long as possible.
It's difficult.
Because it is. It's really difficult. And it's even hard to sort of talk about, because it's not something that you can just like go out and get. It's not something that you can just, you have to, in order to serve, you have to follow the one that came to serve.
Right. In Proverbs 11:2, it states, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom.
Mm. I love that.
So when we are prideful, we tend to claim that we're able to do things that we can't or shouldn't do.
Mm.
And then we end up in situations where we fall flat on our faces.
Mm-hmm.
Flat on them. Oh, yeah, I can dunk. I can do that. And then you get hung up on the rim and right. In the end, you get humbled because we let pride bring us to a place of disgrace. And it can happen in what we think are small areas of our marriage.
What do you think an example of that would be?
An example, I just gave you a great one about dunking. But in marriage.
You ain't got no vertical.
You ain't got hops. I don't know. It's always really funny to me when I see someone that's like, yeah, I got this dunk, and they go and they get hung on the rim. I'm just like, okay. Like, I'm 5 foot. I'm not going to try to dunk. If you can't dunk, don't do it. Mm-hmm. Just be humble enough. Just kidding. Oh, gosh. But no.
Stay humble.
I think an example is when a person says that they're free and they've never been oppressed.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't have any issues with lust. I've never had any issues with lust. I've never been tempted in anything. I've never even looked at a woman and thought she was beautiful. I just don't do that. Like, come on.
Yeah.
You're a human being.
Right. In other words, I've never needed help, nor will I look to God for help.
Exactly.
You can't have humility without grace.
No, I'm not saying
the grace of God.
Right. I'm not saying that someone's like sitting around, you know, always thinking about how they're going to lie about someone. They just never, you know, they're just like, oh, I could say this or I could say, that's not what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people that are just like, I've never been tempted. I'm like, Jesus was tempted.
Mm-hmm.
You think Satan going to leave you alone?
Right.
Why would he leave you alone and not leave Jesus alone?
We can break it down. Like, right. You've never gossiped about anybody.
Right.
You never talked about anybody.
Nobody.
You never
ate. Every woman has.
You know, you've never ate a little bit more food than you probably should have. That's called gluttony.
Right. There's so many things, but
yeah,
that having that that arrogance in thinking that you don't need to humble yourself and that you don't need God to help you do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's an example.
I don't know if is it possible to really humble yourself?
To put yourself below. I mean, I think you have to put in practices to humble yourself, like choosing to put someone else over you. I think that is an act of humility.
Mm-hmm.
So you are humbling yourself.
Okay. I was always curious.
I think you
that.
Need God to get to that point, though. Right. I don't think you just wake up and go, I think I'll be humble today.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, with the Spirit of God in you, you choose acts of humility.
Mm-hmm. It, once again, this is an individual thing.
Yes. You hear my voice, guys. I have like a little bit of nasal congestion. I feel like I went down an octave.
Yeah. It's like that. Did you ever see that episode of Friends with Phoebe where she was trying to get sick because she liked the way her voice sounded when she sang when she was sick?
No.
She was like, you know, she took a shower and was, like, sticking her head, like, out the window because it was, you know, wet hair and everything. It was crazy. But anyway, going back again, it's an individual sort of – your walk is always going to be individual with Christ. And my relationship with the Father is not going to be Kimberly's relationship with the Father.
No.
We're all going to have individual things that we're working on. And that's what Kimberly was saying when she was like, you've never been tempted. And that's what I was saying as far as like, oh, you've never gossiped about somebody. We can break this down on like a very small level. And I think you see like, no, you have struggled with something. And to say that you're so prideful and arrogant, as the scripture says, you're disgracing yourself, right? And so with the humble, there is wisdom. And so understanding that you need a savior, understanding that you need an example of what humility looks like, i.e. Jesus, this is how we attain these things. This is how we put ourselves behind and put the others in front. We get to bring those strengths into our marriages with this sort of individual walk. And so knowing your spouse's strengths and putting them in a place to use them is something that we actually discussed like while we were dating. You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
But yeah, each person has like strengths, right? So my strengths, for example, would be dealing with the cars. So everything between like oil changes, tires, any sort of repairs, stuff like that usually falls in my hands.
Like, it shocks me when I have to fill up my gas tank. I'm like, oh, I have to fill it. And to the point to where I forget what side it's on. because he takes care of those things. Because before we got married, I was like, I don't want to do anything with these cars. Mm-hmm. Like my dad, praise God for him, made sure that his daughters could change a tire and change the oil and do all these things if we needed to. But I was like, I don't want to do that. I have you.
Yeah.
You that's a strength you have. I'm not going to pretend to know all that stuff. Mm-hmm. When anything happens with the cars, I let that fall to you. You let me know what I need to do.
Yeah. My dad was a mechanic, right? And right. So he was like, hey, I'm going to teach you a little something, something about cars. And I was like, oh, okay. So I know like the basics. I wouldn't say I'm his level as far as like mechanics and everything, but you know, I can usually get around okay. Kimberly's really good with numbers.
I am a math geek.
Has always been extremely good with numbers. And so she's the one who like runs our finances, right? So that would be a strength.
Yes.
For Kimberly.
Give me all the numbers.
Right. I mean, she's a whiz when it comes to that stuff. And so
we sat down to do our first budget and like really comb through and look at our spending and everything. And Corey was laid out on the floor like, are we done yet? Like, and I was like, this is so exciting. Let's do this. But the great thing about knowing our strengths is
knowing when to step back.
I can. Yeah. He was like, you know what? I'm going to let, since you love this and you're good at it and you know what's going on, you take it. And it's something because people feel like, oh, well, I'm the man. I should control all of these things having to deal with money. And mm-hmm. No, if you don't know,
man,
if you don't know that the interest rate on, you know, this loan is going to kill you later, mm-hmm. which I'm learning more about those things as an adult, mm-hmm. you know, then you step back, you fall back and you let your spouse be strong and wherever they're strong.
It's like Chris Rock said, you got to know when to play the tambourine. No.
No.
What? You don't get that?
No.
You can't always play lead guitar, man. You can't always be up front and center. Sometimes you got to step back and play the auxiliary stuff. You got to know when to step back and play the tambourine.
Okay. That makes sense.
I thought it was genius. Like, when I heard that, I was like, wow, that is so genius. And he goes on to explain that, you know, throughout his whole comedy and everything, skit. But it was genius. And I thought that was a really humble thing for him to say. And I think about that all the time. You gotta know when to play the tambourine. Saying no to outside commitments.
Yeah, sometimes you gotta put your family before everybody else.
I tell my mom all the time, like, one of my favorite things to say is no.
I feel like it is. You're good at it in a way that helps me, because it's hard for me to sometimes say no. But
it took time.
It's saying no so that you aren't putting your family on the back burner. It's not saying no because you can't ever do anything.
You're setting boundaries for yourself.
You're setting boundaries and you're not doing things at the expense of your family. That is humility, to give up something that you want for the betterment of your family.
Yeah, I mean, because sometimes we feel like we need to prove ourselves to the world.
Right.
Right? Like, oh man, let's take on, you know, little Susie needs 17 dozen cookies. Let's bake them all. And we need them by now.
Instead of like walking into Walmart and grabbing some cookies.
17 dozen cookies.
Right. Done.
Thank you, Walmart. No, but it's funny because Brené Brown, if you guys have not listened to any of her stuff, you guys should check her out. She's pretty awesome. She's pretty on it. One of the things she says, and this isn't verbatim, but she says 30 seconds of uncomfortableness over resentment. And so there's a part in, is it The Power of Vulnerability? I think that's it. Anyway, she's talking about, you know, someone approached her with a task that needed to be done, and she wears this ring on her finger, she says, and it's got three little rings on it. And what she does when someone asks her a question is she takes 15 to 30 seconds to spin these rings and think about her answer. And the whole time she's thinking about it, she's like has this saying, uncomfortableness over resentment. Uncomfortableness over resentment. And it's a way for you to go, the uncomfortable part would obviously be saying no to the person who asked. But the resentment part would be, I said yes to this, and now I totally resent this person because I really didn't have time for this in the first place, but I felt like I needed to prove myself. Mm-hmm. But someone's suffering because of this.
Right.
And that's what Kimberly was saying as far as like putting other people ahead of your spouse, which, man, we've seen marriages kind of fall apart with that.
Right.
Which is super duper sad because it happens all the time. It's this trying to keep up with society mentality. You know, what is success and what is this and what is that? And
right. It's this whole hustle hard, sleep when I die type situation. It's like, no, you're dead. You're dead.
Yeah. Let's compare ourselves to everybody on social media.
Right.
How come my family doesn't look like this? Yeah. I wish I was super mom. I wish I was super dad.
I was super mom.
I mean, yeah. You know, I wish I could get up at 4:30 and go crush a workout and then, you know, build a car and, you know, draw blueprints for a house. And
which our, this is so off topic, but our music producer, Kenneth Fisher, he rebuilt his BMW. So if you guys haven't checked out his Instagram, he's K-Fish Productions. We link him in all of our episode show notes. Go check it out. But yeah, so he does it. So why can't you? No, I'm just kidding.
One, because I don't build cars.
I'm just kidding.
So, getting back to it, man, that's not working on humility. That's working on, let me try to one-up people.
Right.
And it gets to a point where it's ridiculous trying to compare yourselves to others and you're forgetting the whole point. Each of us have strengths, and this is all an individual walk. And how do we use those strengths to complement each other and serve one another?
Right.
Oh, man. I'll let you take this one.
Chores.
Ugh.
So, you know, a lot of people talk about the stereotype of chores and household work being woman's work. The lack of humility in that can leave your spouse drowning in housework.
Mm-hmm.
And then they ultimately resent you. So even if your wife is a stay-at-home mom, you can't always expect that your house is going to be pristine and your kids are going to be the best looking and the most educated and have the healthiest meals. Like, there are going to be days where you have to help her.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's the other side and you have a stay-at-home dad, same thing. Or if you're both working, even more so, you need to communicate and work together to figure out how things are going to happen. But when someone feels like they're too good for this position, it's a lack of humility.
Mm-hmm.
And serving in your home and household chores, that's like your first ministry. If I can do it in my house with the people that see me every day, I'm proving to them what this is, because the people that see me once in a while, they're just getting that little bit of me. But the people, when my girls see that I cook for them, or when they see that their dad is washing dishes or what have you, like, they're seeing us work together and they're seeing us serve each other in those ways.
This is kind of a broad brush sort of topic, the household chores, because it can go much deeper than this. Because maybe chores aren't really the number one thing on your list.
Right.
But your wife likes to have the kitchen cleaned up before they go to bed so that you don't have a mess.
Hashtag me.
Yeah. So you don't have a mess and you're like, I have to wash 50 dishes in order to get to the pan that I want. Or because we don't have a dishwasher.
Nope.
Our dishwasher are
old school.
Attached to our bodies.
Yep. Corey and Kimberly are the dishwashers.
Mm-hmm. And so this can go a lot deeper because, you know, what may be important to them may not be important to you, but how are you serving in that capacity? Now, I will say there are times when it comes to maybe household chores or a project that needs to be done, when the other spouse needs to come to that spouse and go, hey, we need to step back, right? We got. I know this is really important to you, but this doesn't need to get done right now. There are other things that need to come to the forefront.
Also, hashtag me.
And so there are times when, you know, I have to help Kimberly in that, which in turn, I feel like I'm serving.
He is.
I'm saving you stress from, once again, the 30 seconds of uncomfortableness.
he's talking me off the ledge. That's what he's doing. he's talking me off the ledge.
And so, you know, learning how to see those person's strengths and be able to supplement where they're weak. So more Bible. We're going to jump into Ephesians now. Chapter 4, verses 2 through 3. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. One of the things I want to highlight in this is, like, it says bearing with one another in love. And so as you're sort of walking through, now let's keep in mind too, it mentions patience, gentleness before that, with all humility and gentleness and with patience, bearing with one another in love. Without love, there can't be patience. Without love, there can't be gentleness. And once again, this all leads back to Jesus, because you don't really know what true love is until you know what or who Jesus is. And so as you start to walk in that humility and are someone who is teachable, meaning who can be corrected, and who can learn from one another, you begin to be eager to be unified with God. You strive to have peace with God, right? And this, it makes you eager to show love. And you want to be more unified with your spouse through the Spirit and because of God, because of Jesus, and because of that model that he sort of placed in front of us. So adding in patience to the equation helps you give grace to others, because it can help you step back and to see the whole picture and to sort of understand it. And so if you think about it in terms of, I'm holding up a piece of paper and I'm holding it to my nose, I can only see that piece of paper. So there'd be no way that I'd be able to read the writing on that paper. Maybe I could make out one or two words, but that's it. So then if I can take a step back, you know, maybe hold it at arm's length, now I can read the whole piece of paper and I can see it for exactly what it is. And so when you have patience, it helps you to sort of step back and view the situation for exactly what it is and give your spouse that grace that God has so freely gifted to us. So just to sort of wrap everything up, humility is not an act for act. It's not I pat your back, you pat mine. It's not full of pride or arrogance. It's being able to be teachable, to be corrected, not only by the person whom you are serving, meaning, you know, God or the scriptures, but also by the people who you are serving as well. We want you to know that we all fall short of the glory of God, and we're constantly being molded to be better. And humility is key to understanding that. We knew that this topic was going to be extremely difficult to convey, because we believe that humility is not the easiest to understand just from reading an explanation. It's about action. Humility becomes fully realized through observation and action. True humility can only be achieved through God's grace, as we see in Jesus' example in Matthew 20:28, when he states that he did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. All right, so in the next episode, we're going to discuss having a vision for your family, as well as dreaming of and believing in the future of your marriage. We know where we are in this marriage walk, but let's figure out what we are going to make it into.
Ooh, marriage in the making.
Vision.
Vision. I bet nobody knew 2020 was going to be like that. Should have had a vision.
Wah, wah. All right, fam. Stay encouraged. Be blessed. Walk with peace. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Make sure to hit subscribe to get notifications when a new episode drops. If you enjoyed the show, leave us a review so others can find us and come along for the ride. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram @MarriageInTheMaking for some additional encouragement.